For another 2.5 hours or so from Larry Speaks, the White House spokesman, we have been told that at the president's request, Vice President Bush will not be going to Europe today to Munich to speak, as he had been scheduled to do. Of course, the White House for some time has felt that there was a vacuum of leadership in the Soviet Union because of Andropov's long illness, and they have felt that there has been some erratic behavior, the Korean airline incident, for instance, and in fact, arms control negotiations. The real question now is what effect this will have on the arms control negotiations, and whether there is anything that the United States can do during this transition period to entice the new Soviet leaders to come back to the negotiating table. I think that what we're going to see from the White House is a very moderate tone and every possible signal of encouragement to the Soviet Union, first of all, because of the arms control situation, because of the Soviet influence on Syria in the Middle East, and of course, because of the political situation here in the United States. John?
Andrea, thank you for your reporting this morning. The Soviet Union announced the death of Andropov early this morning, almost 24 hours after he had died. The official announcement carried by television and radio throughout the Soviet Union said Andropov had died after suffering a long illness, but it did not name that illness. For several months, the official Soviet word was that Andropov was suffering from a persistent cold. Andropov's last public appearance was in August when he met in Moscow with a group of 9 U.S. senators. And now on our open line to Moscow, correspondent Rick Davis standing by with the latest report from there. Rick, is there any outpouring of grief? Are people in the streets? What's the reaction there?
At this point, everything seems normal in downtown Moscow. None of the black banners have gone up along Red Square. Most people must know about the death by now, but there is no massive outpouring of grief being displayed. People are going about their business as they always do at this time of the year, working their way through the snow.
Thank you, Rick Davis, for that report and for your reporting this morning. Correspondent Bernard Kalb is at the State Department, where there is speculation about Andropov's successor. Bernie, who's likely to get the number one job?
John, wasn't it Churchill who once described the Soviet Union as an enigma wrapped in a mystery, or vice versa? I don't think any bureaucrat here would bet one day of annual leave as to who might win the steeplechase taking place within the Kremlin as to the next boss of the Soviet Union. But I think one of the clues one must look to most immediately as to which Soviet leader will be named to head the funeral procession for Andropov. A year and a half ago, when Brezhnev died, Andropov was quickly named to that post, and that set the alarm bells going off on the part of the Kremlinologists. They said if Andropov gets the funeral procession post, he very well could emerge as the top man. That is one thing we are waiting for. The real question is, when you take a look at the legacy of Andropov, he helped produce a massive chill in relations between the United States and the Soviet Union. And that raises the question of the composition of the American delegation that would attend the Andropov funeral. If you go as high as the President or Vice President Bush, there are opportunities possibly for probing the Soviets to see if it is possible to diffuse the tensions that exist between the two superpowers. John?
Thank you, Bernard Kalb.